Amy Grant, Hope Set High. It's 7:37. This is the Sunday Breakfast Show on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey. With me is the Reverend Martin Paul. Do you know what a besom is?
No. Well, I got a little bit of an idea because you talked about it earlier, but no, tell me.
Well, let me explain. You might actually pronounce it as the Scots do, as besom, and it means broom. And the reason besom is used as the name of local church-run organisations offering food packages and meeting the needs of others is because their aim is to sweep away suffering. I went along to the Camberley branch of besom, based in a small unit on an industrial estate where the walls are lined with tins and packets of food, bedding and baby clothes. The Camberley besom is supported by a number of churches from different denominations in the area, and Karen Kendall, who is the Partnership Development Officer for Churches Together in Camberley, began by talking me through the packing and sorting systems going on there.
The reason we're so busy at the moment is, although mostly we get all of our food through the churches and there are various collection points, at this time of year, where the churches are engaged with local schools and maybe going and doing assemblies for harvest time, we're getting a lot of food in from the local schools. So when a bag comes in, what we've got to look for, first of all, is it in date? And I'm sad to say that sometimes we do get stuff that's out of date. We do have a refuge that we send that to, and then they can choose whether they use it or not, but we cannot put out-of-date food into a pack. So once we've taken out those, we look at the date on it, and we can then sort it into those which have long dates on them, so we can then put them to one side. Those that have got near date maybe need to be used in the next couple of months. We also look to see if it's a basic or value brand, because one of the sort of the ethos behind the besom is that we want to bless the people that we're giving this food out to. They may already be in sort of dire straits, low in their morale, and actually for them to just receive a value item doesn't really encourage them or help them. And we think if we give them, rather than the leftovers, we give them the best. So we try to make sure we weed out any basic or value brands. And then basically the stuff that needs to be used up soonest goes onto the shelves. Stuff that's got more long life goes into boxes that we can put to one side and then bring out when the shelves get empty.
It's quite a little industry going on here with all the different types of food being laid out. And you've also got bedding up here, as you mentioned, toiletries, all things that people would need if they hit a crisis point. Where does it go? Who needs these packs that you provide?
Okay, well, let's start with one thing people may not know, that just in Camberley alone, there are 60 emergency housing units. I think the figure is about 15 people go to the housing, a local Surrey Heath Borough Council, looking to be housed. And some of those may actually have to go into bed and breakfast. Some of them may get onto a waiting list to go into accommodation more through Accent Pillars, who's our housing association. Some may end up in these 60 emergency units. Basically, so I'll give you an example. I know a family where a husband and wife and their slightly older teenage daughter are all living in one room. And when they moved in there, they actually did have nothing. They'd been evicted from their house. They'd come across hard times. They'd lost everything. So they are sort of typical of people we might give a starter pack to. They might go in with nothing. So what we would give them is not just food. They might end up with a microwave, a kettle, a toaster, bedding, towels, kitchen starter set, which would be everything including washing up bowl, washing up liquid, cleaning cloths, cutlery, plates and bowls. It could be everything like that in that situation. I mean, the other situation you might have is we have a story that we like to share because it's kind of not the sort of story you expect. An 82-year-old lady whose husband had passed away. He probably had handled all the finances for her. She was left on her own and didn't want to admit she wasn't coping and basically hadn't been paying her bills, and she got into right pickle. So we get referrals from people like one of our other projects, which is Frontline. They may have come across her first because she'd gone to them with help with her finances, and then they would refer her to the besom. And in fact, what's great is about the various projects we have. Frontline is another one I've mentioned. Another one is St Vincent de Paul. They work very much hand in hand and cross refer. So somebody might go to Frontline and we discover that actually they don't even have furniture. They would refer to St Vincent de Paul, who have a furniture store. St Vincent de Paul might go to someone with furniture and discover that someone's got terrible debts. They'll refer them to Frontline, and so it sort of goes on.
So many of these projects are run by church in yes. Camberley, yes. But you have a very close link with the social services, yes. with Citizens Advice.
Yes.
How important then is the work that churches are doing and the work that volunteers are doing in Camberley.
Well, I think it's very valuable. In fact, I heard one of the vicars say, and I'm hoping he's got these facts right, that actually, if you look at the number of people volunteering from within churches, it's by far and above across the country the greater number. I think it's absolutely essential. And without sort of wishing to preach, you know, when we go to church, we are constantly being reminded, especially at this time of harvest, that everything that we're given has been given to us by God. It's not ours, actually. And what we're doing is doing the fair thing, which is sharing it. So if we've got a little more than somebody else, we shouldn't just be giving them our leftovers. We should be giving them something that's ours, being generous with them. So I think that that's hopefully the mentality that we're coming from in the churches, being encouraged to share what we've been given. It's not necessarily ours by right. We've been very blessed. If the housing association came to us, or the social team or families team or Sure Start centres, for example, if they came to us, they wouldn't be coming to us to look to help just Christians. That everyone across society uses those services. We've helped Muslim families. We don't ask that question. It's actually not even... We do have to obviously keep some kind of record of what we give out. But all we're really interested in retaining is information about who referred the person, what we gave them, and sort of a postcode to be able to keep a track of what we've sent out. Obviously, that's important. But certainly, religion, race, nothing else matters.
It's mostly about food in this room that we're looking at. People still checking the dates, putting pasta in boxes, putting tins away. It's exhausting work. But over on this side of the room, you've got a baby area as well, where you make up baby starter packs. Tell me more about that.
Well, if I could give you sort of a scenario, I mean, believe it or not, you know, you do get young girls sort of suddenly disclose that they're pregnant and very late stages, and it may come as a real shock. I mean, that also may happen to a married couple. They weren't expecting to have another member to their family. They don't have the income to cover that, and it makes a very difficult decision for them about what they're going to do, about whether to go forward and maybe have this baby, make a very difficult decision. So what we offer is a starter pack, which would give someone everything that they would need just to get off the ground. It would include a Moses basket, a bath, nappies, all the sort of potions, if you like to call it, you know, baby wipes, everything they would need just to get them off the ground. And obviously, if we then realised that they were in more need, then obviously we'd build up the relationship with them, and maybe we'd have to give them some more. But that would probably come through, a Sure Start centre or through the local authority.
BSM is very much about helping people through an immediate crisis. Are there people who keep coming back and coming back, or is this the first step to getting people long-term sustainable help?
Yes, this is not about keeping people forever and ever and ever. This is generally to help in a gap or in a crisis. I haven't sort of mentioned benefits, but an example might be someone who has been on benefits actually going back to work. The day they start work, their benefits could stop. And then, unfortunately, it's a month before their paycheck comes in. And a lot of people, maybe not as fortunate as myself, I have some savings. If that happened, I'd depend on my savings. They may have nothing to turn to. So it's also, as I've learnt from Frontline, when they've got people in financial crisis, they must understand they must pay their council tax, they must pay their rates, or if they are in a house they own, they must pay their mortgage. Actually, putting food on the table is quite way down on the list. And so what we would like to do is give them the food, which might free up some money to pay other essential bills. But yes, it's not long-term. By referring to Frontline, they can probably sort out more long-term their financial situation. And this is just to get them back on their feet.
Have you seen more people turning to you for help in the last year?
Yes, let me give you one example. I haven't mentioned our relationship with Citizens Advice Bureau. We give out emergency bags to them. I think a year ago they were getting through about six bags a month. They're getting through about roughly six bags a week now. That's people going to Citizens Advice Bureau declaring they literally have no food on their table for the night, and they will give them a 24-hour pack and then refer them on. Definitely, we've seen an increase in the demand. But what is so amazing about this, and this is where our faith really comes in, is it seems to be that whenever there's an increase in demand, the increase in donations from the churches seems to match that demand. Sometimes it gets a bit low and we do get a little bit nervous, but we are trusting that that will sort itself out. And in fact, seeing so much coming in now at harvest time is actually making us think, God knows something we don't, and maybe there's going to be a sudden increase again.